Christmas then is a celebration of hope, the birth of hope, Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, Christmas is a time of celebration. I'm sure for many of you, you've already had some traditions and things that you've already done to celebrate with your family and friends. It's called a happy time, a joyous time. And just earlier today, I heard that song, of course, with all the great Christmas carols and other Christmas songs. One of them I heard was that song, "It is the most wonderful time of the year." I'm not going to sing for you. Are you glad I'm not going to sing for you, by the way? But it is the most wonderful time of the year. And I have to admit, you know, I had not paid that close of attention to it before, but I listened to it a little more closely and I heard something. It's like, really? That's been there the whole time? What is that doing in that song? And here's the song. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Scary ghost stories. Have you heard that in that song? Scary ghost stories? What is that doing in a Christmas song? The next time you hear that song, listen to that. Scary ghost stories. How many of you listen to scary ghost stories at Christmas? Anyone?
Scrooge.
Scrooge. Oh, okay. See, I'm glad I brought this up. Now I've been correct. It's about Scrooge. It's a reference to... Okay. All right. Well, now I know. You see, this is why I ask these questions, folks. I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for answers like this. So anyway, well, it is a wonderful time of the year. But if we're going to be honest about it, we have to say, though, it isn't always such a joyous time of the year, though, is it? It isn't a joyous time for everyone. And even for those who are celebrating and enjoying it, there are days when we don't feel like we have much to celebrate, to rejoice in. The fact is that Christmas then can also be a painful time. It can be a lonely time. It can be a dark time. Because we are human beings who need hope. We need hope for something, someone who can rescue us from the darkness of what sin has done to us and to this world, what it's done to our relationships, our families, what it's done to everything in this world. We need hope. And so Christmas then is a celebration. It's a celebration of hope, the birth of hope, Jesus Christ. As I said, we talk a lot about hope in this church, and I want you to know that you can have hope. You can have hope today and forever in Christ. But I want to clarify, I know we have some visitors with us here tonight. When I said that word hope, you may have thought of hope in the way we usually use that word, hope, but that's different from how the Bible uses it. See, when we usually use the word hope, it means a sense of it's a desire, a wish for something that may or may not happen. We hope that we get that new job. We hope we get good news from the doctor. We may get that job, we may not. We may get that good news, we may not. We hope for the best. When the Bible speaks about hope, that's not something that may or may not happen. We hope things turn out for the best, or we hope that God is going to come through with what He said, what He's promised. And I see He does come through every time with what He has promised. See, biblical hope then, it's a sure and certain promise of things to come. It said, but a promise is only as good as the character and the power of the person who makes the promise. If someone makes a promise to you, maybe they're not very trustworthy. You have to have a good character to be able to believe that promise, right? But it isn't just a good character. You have to have power. You have to have the ability to carry that out. Because sometimes we can promise something with the best of intentions and have every intention of following through on that. But we don't always, well, we never can control all circumstances, can we? And sometimes things may happen that we're not able to fulfill that. But you see, with God then, it's never an issue of character or power. Because His character is good and holy and just, and His power is infinite, the Almighty. So biblical hope then consists of the good promises of God backed up by His holy character and His almighty power. It's a guarantee of things to come, not just a vague wish. So the Bible says that we can have hope. We can have hope in the darkness of this life and this world. That hope is the gift of eternal life in Christ. It's blessing forever in the presence of God. That hope is that one day He will resurrect our sick and frail mortal bodies and make them like the glorious resurrection body of Christ. That He is going to judge all the earth and then make a new earth where things will be forever set free from the presence and the consequences of sin. No more death, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain. And the scriptures tell us that we can share in that hope. We can have that hope through faith in Christ. So Christmas then is a celebration. It's a celebration of hope. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, who is the one who achieved that hope and now offers it freely to all who believe. So we read earlier of the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. And so now I want us to go forward about 2 years later. And by the way, that was great. If you were here a couple of Sundays ago for our children's Christmas presentation, they were presenting the Christmas story, and we had Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus up here on the stage, and the shepherds and the animals and all of that, the angels. And then the time came for the wise men to come, and someone brought a little sign across that said, about 2 years later. So we get the story right, right? So it was about 2 years later then when the wise men came. And so Matthew tells us this in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. He says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. And after listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So here, these wise men, they saw a star in the east. They traveled several hundred miles from the east then when they saw that star. And you might wonder, who were these wise men and what were they doing looking for this star and then traveling when they saw that? Well, these wise men, also called the Magi, they don't just appear here in the Bible out of nowhere in the New Testament. We actually read about them some 500 years earlier, 500 or 600 years earlier in the book of Daniel, where there we see that when God's people who had been disobedient to God for centuries, and despite God's warnings to them about judgment to come, judgment finally came and they were brought into exile. They were taken into exile and they went to the east, to the land of Babylon. And it was there then where one young man, a Jewish young man named Daniel, was taken. And he then became part of a group of advisors to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and these advisors were called wise men or magi. And so it is quite possible then that Daniel, that it was through the testimony and the witness of Daniel and the other Jews in the exile that these wise men became aware of prophecies of this Jewish king who would be a savior. And not just a savior who would be a blessing to the Jews, but would be a blessing for all people. So that's why they were interested in this. So when they saw this special thing happening there in the West, they knew the time has come, and that's why they traveled to see this one who was born King of the Jews. So as they traveled, they went to the place, I suppose, where they would expect to find a newborn king. Where would you go? Wouldn't you go to the palace in the capital city? That's where they went. So they went to the palace of the King of the Jews in the capital city, Jerusalem. But when they got there, they didn't see quite what they were expecting, I'm sure. But see, they saw this man, this King of the Jews, this so-called King of the Jews named Herod. And when they told him about it, Herod wondered, well, where is this king to be born? Where was he born? Where is this? And this troubled everyone, too, that these wise men had arrived. Because, you see, Herod was infamously jealous and paranoid. And so when he heard that there was a king of the Jews born, he wanted to eliminate this young threat to his rule, to his power. Of course, the wise men didn't know that at this point. They would be warned later about it. So all Jerusalem, the text tells us, was troubled by this because they knew what Herod was like. So Herod asks, where is the Christ to be born? So here is this alleged king of the Jews asking where the Messiah was to be born, which was something that every Jewish child could tell you. Well, in Bethlehem, of course, but here the king didn't know that. So the text we read in Micah was quoted by the scribes to him in Bethlehem. And then Herod calls these wise men together secretly and asks, when did this star appear? He wants to know, how old is this child, this threat, right? And then tells him, go and find him, and then come back and tell me where he is, because I want to go and worship him too. Do you think Herod wanted to worship him? No, he wanted to eliminate him. So Jesus was threatened right from the beginning. Well, the wise men did go to Bethlehem and they found the house where Joseph and Mary and the child were staying. And they brought gifts for him. They brought gifts fit for a king. We know famously what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now we know what gold is. Frankincense and myrrh, we don't hear as much about. But gold, of course, was very valuable then, still is now. Frankincense and myrrh were spices that were also very valuable. These are very valuable, expensive gifts that they brought, gifts fit for a king. Someone has noted that I think it's interesting the symbolism that one can draw too from these gifts. Gold is associated with kings, and it speaks to how Jesus is a king, how he's an eternal king. The frankincense was something that was used in the temple by the priests as part of the temple service. So Jesus was a king who received gold, but Jesus is also a priest who received frankincense. Well, then what about the myrrh? Well, the myrrh was used in burial of bodies. And perhaps then it's a prophecy of the death of Jesus Christ. So that he is a king, he is a priest, and he is a sacrifice represented then through those gifts that are seen. So you might be asking yourself, okay, well, what does that story have to do with me here this evening? Well, I would say just as those wise men sought him out and then gave him their worship, so too Jesus then, he is the king, he's the eternal king of all of us who is worthy of our worship as well. Jesus is worthy to receive our gifts of worship. Now, it may not be gold or frankincense or myrrh, but he is worthy of what we can offer him. What can we offer him? Well, I'll say about it in just a moment here. But first, let's reflect for a moment on the gift of Jesus. I talked a little bit about this yesterday, Sunday morning. Who is the gift of Jesus? He is the great I Am. He's Almighty God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Word, the very self-expression of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the image of the invisible God. He makes the invisible God known and seen to us. He is the Son of Man. He's human, just like we are. He is the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, the Deliverer. He is the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for our sin. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the High Priest, and he is the head of the church. This is the gift of Jesus. This is who he is. But what has he given us? The gifts of Jesus are the blessings that we have through faith in him. It's forgiveness for our sin. It's peace with God. It's acceptance with God. It's holiness. It's eternal life. It is adoption as his children forever. It's every spiritual blessing. You know, God has not withheld anything good from us in Jesus. He has given us every spiritual blessing, and we will receive in him every good thing. It's access to his throne of grace. And I don't know about you, but I need to access that throne of grace often, daily. It is his sovereign wisdom and his good purpose. It is his promise to be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. It's hope. It's that resurrected body. It's eternal reward. It's the promise of a new earth in which we will live and reign forever with him. That's the gift of Jesus and the gifts of Jesus. So then I said before, I asked, well, what can we bring to him? What can you bring to him tonight? It's not gold or frankincense or myrrh. What can you bring him? Well, I think we can bring him the gift of ourselves, just as we are, to give him ourselves, our lives, to give him our hearts, to give him our heart's devotion and affection, to give him our worship and our praise, to give him our thanks, our gratitude, but also then to give him our service, that is to use the abilities that he has given us, the resources that that he has given to us, to use them to be a blessing to others, to do good in this dark world, to be a light in this world. That's the gift that we can bring him, ourselves, our hearts, our worship, our gratitude, our service. So I would, as we are celebrating Jesus and the birth of Jesus here tonight at Christmas, I would just remind us all that Christmas isn't just about receiving gifts. It's also about giving gifts. And not just giving gifts to family members and friends, but it's about giving the gift of ourselves to the gift, Jesus, the gift given to us. So give yourself to Jesus, who is the eternal King and worthy of our worship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this amazing gift we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the great I Am. He is the Messiah. He is the Word. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is our Redeemer, our Deliverer. And we thank you, Lord, that through faith in him is hope, hope in the darkness of this life, hope in the pain and the despair of this sinful world. Thank you, Lord, that even as we acknowledge the reality of the darkness of this world, that a light has come into this world, Jesus Christ, who is our hope. He is the light that shines in the darkness. And we give thanks. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.